In the name of the Triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, we will quieten yet around those words which are found in the first epistle of John, the second chapter, verses 1 through 17. These words are heard in Jesus' name. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. In that prayer of faith, that the Heavenly Father would open his word, we would like to begin to go through this holy word of God. As old brother said, another time. John here writes, after this heard portion in this letter, of that, minkälaisen rakkauden of what kind of love the Father has shown unto us, that we are to be named the children of God. And in that same third chapter, John writes of many of these same matters which we heard here in our text. John lovingly comes near. This letter is not written to any certain congregation, but it was written to the children of God of that time, travelers on the way to heaven. And yet today, a couple of thousand years later, this letter of John is meant for us, the endeavorers of this time. When John writes that, "My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." In the service of the children of God is spoken much of sin. We are warned of sin. The forgiveness of sins is preached. And as you, dear brothers and sisters, know how sin came into this world, the enemy of souls, or in the form of the enemy of souls, in the form of a serpent or snake at that time, the enemy of souls preached unto Eve that did God really say so? Does the enemy of souls preach the same sermon yet today? Did God truly say so? How the enemy of souls attacked our corrupted flesh, our corrupted mind, or through them, makes us doubt that which God has truly said. When God denied there in paradise to eat of that tree which is in the middle of paradise, God truly meant it. And when the enemy of souls began to tempt, he said that when you eat of that tree, you'll become as God. You will know good and evil. That liar was able to tempt that first human couple into sin, and that fall into sin we feel or carry the effect of it as inherited sin in our own flesh and blood. We have a battle, an everyday battle, each of us, against the power of the enemy of souls. And when the Word of God is written for us as a light and a guide on this way, in this way of heaven, we would wish to be endeavoring according to that which the Word of God teaches unto us. But, dear brother and sister, does that thought ever come to mind which Eve had, or that which Eve began to believe, that did God truly say so? That question is not necessarily in the same form in our time, but it comes in that form. That do we need to believe in the same manner as it was written? And does not the enemy of souls preach that that is old-fashioned? But, brother and sister, is it not secure to believe in an old-fashioned way, in that manner that the Bible teaches, and not as our own wisdom teaches? Our wisdom would so many times be bringing us to a easier way of believing, such a faith which would be acceptable to this world, which may be beautiful in the eyes of this world, nice worshiping of God. But there is one evil side. And with such a faith, you will not make it to heaven. When that fall into sin happened, that inherited sin, because of that inherited sin, we fall often into sin. And as in this epistle text is written, that sin which always attaches and makes our way slow. You have, as I have, to verify that when sin attaches, this way of faith becomes difficult. But here in our text is said that he is the propitiation for our sins. Is it not secure that when errors come, we can go onto that grace throne to confess our sins? And have you ever been said to you that you have used up so much of that grace that unto you will not be forgiven your sins? No. But in the kingdom of God, forgiveness is always preached unto the penitent. When one repents of or confesses sins or repents, it is not said that to list all of your sins which you have done, and then we will think about it. But no, the gospel is always preached unto the penitent. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So it is written here by John that he is the propitiation for all the sins. In the time when this letter was written, was not the time of visitation for the pagans, but when the time, God's time, came, the flames of God began to burn here in the north. And God carries his gospel message onto the ends of the world through his messengers. And in this time, it is proclaimed over the internet. Even these services are able to be heard. For this reason, it is important that we hold the gospel, the message of the gospel, And it isn't. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. What commandment is cited here? He cites of the farewell speech of Jesus, which is recorded in the Gospels, when Jesus said, "You will be known as my disciples that you keep love among you. One commandment I give unto you, remain in my love." When God or Jesus taught in this way, that remain in my love, he wanted surely to remind us of that. That there is another form of love where we may return if God so wills at a later time. He that saith, "I know him," and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. In these services have been spoken much of the love amongst believers. I would think that even if it so be, that it is, has been already spoken much of, it surely is not wrong that we would still speak of it. And even after these services, we will be, it will be spoke of in the services of God's children. Love is such a thing that of which Paul writes that of three things will be asked: faith, hope, and love. But love is the greatest of these. That love should be nourished, and that love will be broken by that which John writes of here in the beginning of this epistle: sin. Sin, which is when our heart falls away from God. We can, in many ways, err or do things at home, at school, with our co-workers, or with friends. It pays to speak of these things that break the love and ask for forgiveness and to give forgiveness. And it would still be good to remember that in many difficult matters, that gift of forgetting is important. That when something is forgiven, that we would have the strength also to forget it. When those sins have been put away, put into that, as is said, in that bottomless sea of mercy, that we would not begin to fish there, but that we would believe them forgiven and we would forgive them. He that saith, "He abideth in him," ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Jesus gave a precious example, if we think of that, when he was persecuted and whipped and nailed to the cross, guiltless. He did not curse those people who hated him, which is the mind of our temporal, carnal minds when we happen upon such things ourselves. Does not arise in us such hatred as Peter had there in the Garden of Gethsemane. he took hold of his sword and with it cut the ear off of that high servant of the priest. But even in that occasion or situation, Jesus showed great love. He healed that heart. He that abides by the sword dies by the sword. When Jesus, with this example, wanted to show unto us and to remind us of that, that hatred does not help. In our text is said, that he that saith, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Paul, when he was sorrowing over that, when he in unbelief did those actions that he did, and how that work was not correct in the eyes of God. A unbelieving person does not see that, or a self-righteous person does not see that battling against the kingdom of God is not correct. They cannot see or understand it because of their unbelief. But God can even in an unbelieving person's heart, or can cause it to become soft and warm their minds, as even in for Paul or Saul of Tarsus, God was able to be able to get a person who hated him through repentance. He received a powerful worker. For this reason, it does not pay for us to think that some person cannot ever comprehend the grace of repentance. God can awaken from a heart or a rock a worker, and for this reason, it pays for us to believe, as the Word of God teaches us to pray and not to become tired, for those near ones who have gone into the world, left the kingdom of God. It pays to pray. It pays to remember them so that they could return into the home of the Father from the path of a prodigal child. Dear, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Is it not a secure text in the Word of God? It is promised that sins are forgiven unto the dear little children, to parents, to elders, to all of you, unto all is for sins are forgiven even now. At this time is permission to believe, sins forgiven in the name and precious atoning blood of Jesus. You can be secure and blessed. This gospel we wish to be proclaiming from God's kingdom, even there, where is at question, where can I find a gracious God? Dear unbelieving friend, the gracious God can be found only from the kingdom of God, from nowhere else. From here is proclaimed the forgiveness of sins. Even now, you have permission to believe your unbelief and all sins forgiven in the name and precious atoning blood of Jesus. this matter of faith is not a matter of feelings, but is a great gift of God, and it pays to keep hold of it. At these services of this gift has been spoken of often, but I would not say that we have been fulfilled or been bored by it, but we know that we can be owning such a great gift that we would wish to or always want to, that we would be giving this gift unto others as well. As there in the parable of the prodigal son is told, that when that prodigal son returned home, there was great joy. And it so happens always in the kingdom of God when with one penitent one humbles unto repentance. In the end of our text is spoken of the love of the world. And a portion of this text belongs closely to that which John wrote in the beginning of this letter. When John reminded the children of God of that time, and I would dare to say, and not even the least for us, but love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Jesus taught in his Sermon on the Mount that no one can serve two gods, God and Mammon, or the prince of this world. Either he loves one and hates the other. There in the midst of our daily lives, we often must make decisions that which way, which one would we wish to love? And in this time, the love of this world, it is not only near to our youth, but the love of the world, it is often near or close to us elder ones, older ones. In the book of Hebrews says, that not to go after the things of this world. It was warned that we would not go or to change our teaching, our lives, according to that which is modeled around us, according to that which the world around us does. We see these temptations. We do not have to look further than the media, the front pages of newspapers. The enemy of souls does powerful work. And this enemy of souls does his work in our flesh and blood. Oftentimes the news are such that they feed those things that are close to our flesh and blood. May God give that childlike mind, that we would not begin to follow that which the enemy of souls is teaching. John continues, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. This pride of life, in many ways, is luring us. May God give me the correct words that you, dear young ones, youth, you young sisters who oftentimes are battling with these matters, that God would give unto you that childlike mind, a satisfied mind, that we would not go unto that form or model which the world would be giving us, but that we would remember that which God has created. It is said that it is good. Let us be satisfied with that. And be in moderation in that this outward pride or appearance in one way or another, that it would not become an idol for us, that which we would serve when we are awake. Moderation here is a beautiful matter. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Thus John ends this letter. Which pays for us to remember the destination or goal of our faith. Of it has been spoken much here at the service, but because we have such bad memories, it pays for us to be reminded of that which is the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Our lives are short, as summers are short, these warm phases of summer are short, when compared to eternity, the life of man is only the width of your palm, if even that. It pays to calculate that if we would, for this short time that we are here, if we would, through the power of God, have the strength to endeavor in the kingdom of God, putting away sin. Think what kind of reward is awaiting us. I will not even try to say, because it is written that not one eye has seen it or ear has heard, and it has been not said. Let us trust with a childlike mind that which God has prepared for his children. It is an unspeakably great gift, and toward it we are traveling. The Word of God promises that he will bring his obedient children to the destination, who wish to be putting away sin, endeavoring personally in faith, believing their own sins forgiven. God will bring us to the destination. Is it not secure? Even now, you can remain believing, sins forgiven, in the name and precious blood of Jesus. You can be blessed and secure. You, dear young one, youth, who perhaps are tempted, perhaps fallen into sin, you too can believe. All sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And when we believe in this way, we will make it one day to our destination in the glory of heaven. But, dear brothers and sisters, one is not saved through preaching. I wish to believe, even my sins forgiven. Can I remain believing? I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, all sins are forgiven with a secure mind. Brothers and sisters, sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. Thus we remain securely in the grace-keeping of God's Word. In Jesus' name, amen.